This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
My job is just to play ball. That's what I'm going to continue to focus on doing.
In the moments where we are down, as players, we got to execute. Every day, I'm so fortunate to be a part of this team.
My job is just to play ball, and that's what I'm going to continue to focus on doing.
Hey, everybody. Tim Kawakami here, the 49ers Plus Minus podcast with my co-host, the up and early Matt Barros, just grueling draft picks, banging out profiles and thumbnails and great analysis and all these wonderful things that you do, Matt Barros. It is over now. I'm sure you got, like, undrafted free agent signings to chase and all those other fun things after the draft. But all right, give us a big picture view of all the picks. What was it, 11 picks, whatever it was, a lot of picks, a ton of defense. Did you sense a theme? What's your greater take out of all these guys coming into the 49ers?
Yeah, well, the theme was that the 49ers thought that this was a deep draft. So they held on to all of their picks. There weren't any trades at all. So they ended up picking in all 11 spots with which they went into the draft. And obviously one of the themes is restocking that defensive line, and not just restocking it with bodies, but restocking it with big bodies. I mean, Mykal Williams is a big defensive end. The second round pick, Alfred Collins, is a huge defensive tackle, sort of reminds me a little bit of Eric Armstead, maybe a little bit more bulk there, but long legged, long armed, et cetera. And then CJ West, I thought, was probably their best pick in terms of value, where they got him in the fourth round. He's somebody that I think a lot of 49ers kind of draftniks had circled. He's one of these guys that doesn't look the part. I mean, he's sort of stubby, short, but he's just so hard to handle. Kind of roly-poly, but quick off the snap, gets underneath the pads of the center of the guard, and he's in the backfield. So not a huge amount of production in terms of sacks and tackles for loss, but he's disruptive. He's going to kind of collapse the inside of that line. And, you know, the idea is that that creates havoc that a Nick Bosa and a Mykal Williams can exploit. So, I mean, I really thought it was a strong, strong draft with a big, big asterisk. And the asterisk is that somehow they made it through these 11 picks without taking an offensive tackle.
I was going to bring that up.
Which is just astounding to me, just given, you know, it's not just who's the swing tackle this year. It's who's the tackle for the future. I mean, I just don't
know. On either side, right?
I mean, you start to think that, okay, they must have a plan. It must be like some sort of Trent Williams, you know, plan out there. Like they're gonna bring some guy in, but I don't think that's the case. I mean, I think that they were looking at tackles and that the board, for some reason, didn't work out the way it should have. I will call your attention to the third round. So the 49ers take Nick Martin, the linebacker, early-ish in the third round, and then the 49ers have a late pick in the third round. And just before they go on the clock, the Raiders have two picks. With the first of those two picks, the Raiders take Caleb Rogers, a tackle out of Texas Tech. And the next pick, they take Charles Grant, a tackle out of William & Mary. The 49ers spent a lot of time with both of those guys. They've actually brought in Caleb Rogers for a visit. I think that the 49ers thought one of those guys was going to be there, and old Pete Carroll,
oh boy,
did a number on them.
Snookered them.
Which would be really similar to last year when everybody thought that they were going to take Roger Rosengarten from University of Washington. And I think the Baltimore Ravens took him instead. And so with the next pick, the 49ers took Renardo Green, and it turned out to be a really good pick. And in this case, they ended up taking Upton Stout, another cornerback. And we'll see with him. But I think that they did intend to take a tackle on day two, and their guy got swiped, basically.
Yeah, I just think we've talked this endlessly about how particular they are about tackles. You have to fit a certain thing, physical type, movement type. They like them to be smart and play a lot of games. It's like if you've got a tackle that you like within range, you got to treat them like quarterbacks and go up and get them. Because if you just sit back and you don't get them, there's nobody else they want. Like they just don't, they don't have like, okay, we can take the fourth tackle in this group. They don't want them. Like that's not them. Other teams can do that. It's just their type is very particular, and it's one guy every group or two, and then they don't get them and they just don't take anybody. So it's like, okay, I accept that you're not going to take someone who doesn't fit your stuff, right? You're just not going to do it. We know they're not. Whatever round it is, whatever grouping that we're talking about. But then you better go up and get them. Listen, Upton Stout might be really good, might be exactly what they need, you know, slot corner, all those things. But they need a tackle. It's so them to keep not taking a tackle year after year. When I could just take somebody that, you know, who knew Jalen Moore was going to be somebody that was worth $15 million a year, turned into somebody like that just by taking them. But I really felt like, you know, the offseason, the free agency stuff wasn't John and Kyle. That was out of their control. The things they really wanted were to re-sign Dre Greenlaw and sign Joey Bosa, and neither thing happened. That's okay. That spun out of their control, went some whole financial thing. This draft was them. This draft was really them, their personalities. They had to restock the defensive line. They love defensive linemen. They think they build rosters that way. And they weren't going to take a tackle too high. That's just them. That's just who they are. I have no idea what they're going to do there. And you're right. Like, I was looking for a tackle they might try to pilfer from someone else like they did Trent Williams, who's some relationship to the scheme or to Kyle. And I don't know who that is. And that I think the Trent Williams thing might have been a once-in-a-generation move to be able to get him without giving a first-round pick. They're just going to say, we can make do. We can, hey, you know what, Firster, just go do it. Just figure this out. I know there's frustration among the fan base. I'm sure you've heard about this. I've just kind of thrown my arms up on not taking a tackle, or even a guy who could play guard and maybe tackle. They just, unless is Pooney somebody they can move outside? I mean, we've talked about that. I don't know if you want to mess around with him. He's so good where he is. Do you really want to push him outside and maybe risk him not being a very good offensive lineman if he's a tackle?
I mean, you know, if injuries hit that position, they're going to have to do that. I mean, they just don't have any depth there. If the season started tomorrow, I would assume that their swing tackle is Spencer Burford, someone who didn't quite work out at guard. And now you think that he might work out at tackle. They have Austin Pleasance. He was one of those two guys. Charlie Heck was the other they brought in. And I think it was December last year when injuries hit. I mean, this isn't their last kind of swipe at it. When rosters are reduced in late August, early September, you know, they'll have an opportunity to go and try to grab somebody from another team. The Chiefs just like started accumulating tackles. You know, after Jalen Moore, they drafted a couple, and then they brought in the guy from the East Bay, Esipole, who played up at Washington State. I mean, That surprised me, too. I mean, last year I did a story. Now, I'm going to warn you, this is an Evan Anderson story.
Yeah, everyone is.
There's a point to it. So after the draft, Chris Kocurek and one of the scouts and one of the financial guys got on the phone, and they really tried hard to bring in Evan Anderson. And it got into a bidding war, and they ended up paying a lot more money than they ever had for an undrafted rookie. But they got their guy. And it turned out to be a good get. And I thought that's what they would do this year. When the draft ended, they would target a tackle, Logan Brown from Kansas, who hadn't been drafted, and they would throw the money at the guy and they would get their guy. But to this point, I mean, it's not over yet, but they haven't found that guy yet. I don't know whether the financial restrictions that they had in free agency are still at play here or what, but
there's undrafted free agents.
Even undrafted free agents, they haven't brought one in. So it's peculiar. And I mean, maybe it just speaks to the lack of talent at that position. Tons and tons of wide receivers every year, tons of running backs this year, but there never seemed to be a lot of offensive tackles, at least none that satisfy the 49ers high standards for the position.
My note to them is, even if there aren't a lot of tackles out there, you do need to play two of them. Like, eventually they're going to get two tackles that are going to have to play. And I don't think they're on the current roster. When Trent Williams retires and Colton McKibbitz becomes a free agent, or you just need somebody better. You just need to have people. I say it over and over again. Coach them, figure it out. You just need bodies who can play that position, and they don't seem too interested. Again, it's very them. I get it. They think they can take whatever. But again, we're going, okay, just draft somebody in the sixth round or sign an undrafted free agent, and they don't even do that. It is fascinating, kind of like a social experiment. And Barros now has a point. He's raising his finger.
Well, you read these things really well, but you'll corroborate that Kyle Shanahan tends to get a little bit prickly when he's asked certain questions, like your special teams question.
Yes.
Whenever we would ask about him running Trey Lance, he would get very defensive. He seemed to wasn't quite at this level, but whenever he was asked about the swing tackle spot over the 3 days of the draft, he seemed to, you know, get a little bee in his bonnet. So I think that this is. I think we're kind of hitting at a point that, you know, he also thinks is serious, but they haven't been able to address. So, you know, like I said, it'll be interesting to see what they do between now and training camp, what they do after training camp. But this is a big hole right now on the roster.
It's hard to shop wholesale to get a tackle. You know, retail prices are what usually cost. The great Devontae Adams quote that he told Mike Silver that's what the 49ers, somebody from 49ers told him when he's at free agency, we shop wholesale, not retail. That is one of all-time quotes. Okay, you throwing out, you love the CJ West pick.
Pick.
Yeah, sounds like the 49ers really like the Indiana roster because they went back and took the quarterback to Curtis Work, which is interesting. Good roster, you know, we'll see. You know, certainly not premium talent, but I got no questions with that. I just figured they had to draft the running back. Everyone was telling me Isaac Arendo set as the running back too. That's it. He barely played last year. He got hurt twice. Christian McCaffrey's coming off an injury. They've gone through four running backs every single year. We know they do. They needed another running back. I've watched this guy in college, you know, certainly not a fast guy, but a power guy. You can see him running the wide zone. You know, I don't know if he's going to get 100 carries as a rookie, but running backs tend to can play quickly. I think he can hold up in pass protection. If Frank Gore likes him, I like him. I just think that somebody's going to play. Like, he's going to play like Garendo played last year, or maybe even a little bit more if he doesn't get hurt, because Garendo probably would have played more if he wasn't hurt. That's a guy that I can see, like, oh, my God, he's now our starting tailback for today because we don't have anyone else, and get, like, a 17-carry, 80-yard, two-touchdown game because he's physical. Like, you watch that Oregon, and Oregon's a physical team. You know, it doesn't shock me that's where much of the 49ers personnel group went up for their pro day. It doesn't mean that they were going to take an Oregon player, but meant that they have an affinity for that type of player. And they have affinity for Dan Lanning. I would say Jordan James is somebody I'd definitely be interested in training camp. Just kind of what he looks like. Is he explosive? Does he look like Ty Davis Price? Or does he look like Jordan Mason? You know, sometimes you can tell that pretty quickly. Anyone else you got later on that you're going, okay, this is going to be an interesting guy to watch in camp?
Well, the other fourth rounder, Jordan Watkins, I know that a lot of people don't know him. He wasn't a big name going into the draft, but he just screams 49ers type of receiver. You can see him doing the crossing routes that such a big part of Shanahan's offense, 4-3-7 guy. So, you know, he catches one of those passes. He gets a step on the guy covering him, and you know, he's got the speed to take it to the end zone. So I think he was a good pick where they got him. He was a, you know, we have a very quick conference call with these guys after they get picked. You know, last year it struck us that, you know, each of those guys was good on the call. Smart, you know, charismatic. He fell into that category. There were a number of guys. The quarterback did too.
Stout,
Martin, right. The linebacker seemed like a really sharp guy. So I think this is something that's important to the 49ers. It's certainly something that's important to John Lynch. And I thought that Watkins really kind of showed that as well. Just getting back to James, I just think he's a good all-round running back. I think he didn't catch a lot of passes at Oregon, but the ones that he did, it just looks natural with the ball in his hands coming out of the backfield. He's a good blocker in pass protection. You know, this was a deep draft at running back. So I just wonder where he would have gone in another draft, whether he would have been a second rounder or a third rounder or what. But the fact that they got him late in the fourth, I think speaks to how many other running backs were available in this draft. And then the other guy that stands out, I mean, and might really stand out is Marquise Siegel in the fifth round. And I should say that Jordan James was a fifth rounder, not a fourth rounder. So Jordan James and Marquise Siegel are the fifth rounders. The fifth round is the money round for the 49ers, so we'll have to keep an eye on those two guys. But Siegel now has a good shot at a prominent role as a rookie, given that Malik Mustafa re-injured an ACL. He did it in the finale at Glendale, Arizona, against the Cardinals. And he's going to be out. He's going to be out through training camp. You know, we're hearing maybe October for him. When that was put out there, Mustafa on social media seemed to recoil at that and suggest that he thought he's coming back sooner than that. And I guess a lot of players think that. You have to have that mentality. But, you know, safe to say he's not going to be on the field for the spring and probably for training camp. So you've got now Jair Brown at one safety spot, and you've got a question mark at the other one. There are three veterans on the roster that could get it: Richie Grant, Jason Pinnock, and George Odom, who had a short time as a starter at the beginning of last year, and it didn't go well. And then you have this new guy coming in, this fifth rounder, Siegel, who's, again, another sub 4.4 40 guy, has real kind of good movement skills and coverage skills. He was an outside cornerback at North Dakota State before transferring to Kansas State, where they used him sort of as a quasi nickel safety type of player. But you know, that's a useful type of player in this modern NFL. So I think he's got a shot to make a splash.
What do you make of the Mustafa news coming out right after the draft? Just basically, they didn't want it out until after everyone was done picking, in the case they wanted to take some safeties.
Yeah, I mean, for example, I didn't think that they were going to take a safety at all. They didn't bring any in. They didn't seem to have a lot of interaction with safeties in the run up to the draft. So I think this is something that the 49ers were trying to keep secret. You know, they don't have any games, so they don't have to fill out a practice participation report. There's nothing compelling them to share with the world that Malik Mustafa had an ACL. So they kept it under wraps, and I think it's pretty obvious that they kept it under wraps until the draft was over, considering that the news came out about, you know, 45 minutes after all these guys were on the podium. So, you know, that probably smells a little bit, but you know, they're not a government agency, or they're a private company. They follow the rules on this one, and that's what happened.
But who knows what the government agency
does? It does sort of bring back, you know, why not, you know, try harder to retain Talano Hufanga?
I was just gonna say that. Like, if they knew this, then why don't you keep? I mean, again, Hufanga goes for experience, but like, you got to keep some of your guys who you have open spots. You can't, if you think about it, go backdate it. They would have had open spots at defensive end, two defensive tackles, one linebacker, possibly one corner, and now one safe. Like, it's amazing the scope of what they needed on defense. And we don't know if these guys are going to fill it. There's some certainly some talent there. But would have been maybe like some a motivation to re-sign some of these guys. This is what I keep saying is, like, it's just a numbers thing where you're not going to hit on every single pick, certainly not fifth-round picks. You're thrusting fifth-round picks possibly into play. You know, this guy's going to play. We know, like, you need more than two safeties. You need usually need four safeties throughout the season. And this guy's, like, number two right now until Mustafa's back. Like, why not just keep guys around if it's not really killing you financially because you can afford it? They're under the cap. I'll keep saying these. I don't want to keep going on and on. I wrote about on the second day, they get three more defensive players. They were their first four at that point and ended up being the first five players were defensive players. And just the mood of Lynch and Shanahan, you could tell they were like just excited about getting players in versus losing all the players. And I kind of felt that. I kind of heard that that's what was the mood, that they weren't mad about losing everything, but they were frustrated. And it just kind of felt like, oh my, okay, we're putting names on the board instead of taking names off the board. I asked Kyle about it, and you know, you saw the reaction. He's laughing and saying he told John that day, it's the first day that he exhaled since free agency. They did seem a little buoyant, right? I mean, again, no guarantees about these players. I have a good feeling about Mykal Williams for sure, but just was that the feeling you got from them all 3 days? I was only for one day, but just okay. Now we can begin again. The shock of free agency. Taking all those names off the board. Like Kyle said, I'm looking up on the board, a lot of empty spots. They're beginning to fill them with names at least.
Yeah. I mean, I think euphoria started to, wane a little bit as the draft went on. And I don't know whether that's just because it's such an exhausting process and they're not as buoyant on day three as they were on day two. And I think the offensive tackle thing is sort of a shadow on the draft. I think that they intended to get an offensive tackle and they didn't. I mean, look at the guys that they brought in. They brought in half a dozen tackles on the 30 visit. Those aren't all red herrings, despite what John Lynch might argue. They're not going to try to do a smokescreen to that degree. I think that they wanted to bring one in, draft one on day two, and they just didn't. So, again, that's the one missing element. And like I said, I think that this is a good draft. You can see what the 49ers are thinking for just about all of these guys. I think they all have a shot. We should talk about the seventh rounders because one of them is a quarterback, but again, the offensive line, and I realized that they brought in a guard in the seventh round. He's probably, given the depth of this draft, he's probably what, a fifth rounder or a sixth rounder would have been in previous drafts. So we'll have to wait and see on that one. But offensive tackle, big glaring need there.
You're going to be pounding Shanahan on that one. I think we all will be just asking the question. And it just recurs. It's every year. You could have taken this guy. Might not have been the greatest value, but you just need to put people in that slot, right? That's just, you need to put a name there so you give yourself options. And they just don't seem to want options at that position. And that's what I don't understand. You give yourself options at defensive end, you give yourself options at receiver, you give yourself options at tight end, and you don't give yourself options at tackle, which is a very hard position to fill. If you just half fill it, again, I go back, Jalen Moore became a very valuable player just because you took him. And just plopped him in there and held on to him for 3 years, and he's a valuable player. Well, just keep doing that. I don't understand the overall philosophy, but I don't think 49er fans are disagreeing with me on that. Just take somebody. All right. Then they would say, don't have these other players. I get it. We wouldn't have wanted to take some random tackle and not take Diamond Lenore in the fifth round a couple of years ago. I get it. But at some point, you just need to accumulate, and maybe the tackle becomes good. Maybe the tackle becomes the guy. Hey, you wouldn't want to skip on this guy and take some cornerback, right? So we'll go through this. We'll talk about it constantly. Any notable undrafted free agents so far, Barros?
Not notable. I haven't really scrutinized the list, but a defensive tackle from Washington looks like, you know, a guy who's going to give you some good practice snaps at least. But nothing jumps out at this point. I wanted to highlight the third round because that's been a tricky round for the 49ers. Yes. This is the Danny Gray,
Ty Davis Price.
Yeah, Trey Sermon round. And the two guys that they brought in, Nick Martin at linebacker and Upton Stout at nickel cornerback. You know, I don't want to say that they're controversial, but the sort of the national takeaway when these national writers are putting grades on these drafts, the 49ers are ranking at the very bottom. Like Pro Football Focus gave them a D grade. And the reason for that is that they had a player rated at this spot, and the 49ers took him a lot earlier than they had him rated. So the question is, where did the 49ers picks land versus the consensus big board? And both of these guys were a lot lower than what people thought, you know, they were going to be than what the 49ers ended up drafting them. I will say that this was a critique last year as well. I think the 49ers were at the very bottom of the draft in terms of this consensus big board, and that draft turned out to be really good. So we'll have to wait and see. Obviously, you have to do that every year, but it sort of underscores that the 49ers go off on their own, that they have a different way of approaching this than most teams do. And it worked out for them last year. It didn't work out so great in 21 and 22 and 23. You know, we'll have to wait and see on this this group of 11.
The one thing I always sort of caution is that some of these guys aren't going to work out. Almost all of them did last year. That's great. That is not normal. It's not normal for any team to get like five guys you can count on right away, five guys you know, six guys you know that are going to play for you for several years. These guys all have attributes. They all sound great. They all have highlights. Some of them are not going to work out. And I get resistant when they, oh, this guy will just plug in right here. This guy will plug in right here. That's what they thought about Drake Jackson. That's what they thought about Trey Sermon. That's what they thought about Danny Gray. That's what they thought about Cam Lottu. That's what they thought about a lot of guys that did not do that. It just happens. It's not that you're a bad drafting team. It's not that you're a good drafting team. You're just making projections based on what you don't know what they're going to be like in the NFL. And so you can't just say, okay, now all their depth chart's filled. They're going to compete with everybody on every position. They're not. Some of these guys, to count on players, which I think they are doing, and I understand it, you have to. They lost so much. You don't know if they're any good, and you don't know if they can get healthy. And I would really, really caution 49ers fans or anybody listening to this to say, don't just assume all these guys are good. You can't do it. You have to assume some of them are going to flame out. You don't know which ones. And some of them aren't going to be ready right away. And they're going to need some guys to be ready right away. And then what do they do if they're not? That's just my little dark cloud over this. I just seen a little bit too much where, oh, this guy fits right in there. This guy fits right in there. Everything's great. That doesn't work. I mean, Jacob Cowings didn't do that last season. It's a guy that we all kind of like, oh, he does some stuff in camp. He wasn't ready, or at least Shanahan wasn't ready to play him. Just be aware of that. They need so much out of this draft. Probably need too much out of this draft. And we are all saying that last year's draft was good. I don't know that there's a star in that group. You know, maybe Pooney becomes a Pro Bowl level player. He's probably the closest, but the others just starters. You just need, I get you need starters, but like you need a star. We'll see. I don't know if there's a star in this group. Maybe Mykal Williams has probably got the best shot, but I would warn about that. But other than being positive about the system, the process, I would watch out by saying, okay, Nick Martin, he's going to be just like Dre Greenlaw. Come on now. Right. I mean, who knew that Dre Greenlaw was going to be Dre Greenlaw? That happens almost randomly. And let's just hold up a little bit. Some guys don't, they turn into Jalen Graham instead of Dre Greenlaw. And we have millions of examples of that. The guys that these guys are replacing in large part are failed draft. D Winners is basically being replaced because he was a failed draft pick. Okay, that's my soliloquy. I just want to make sure I'm on the record about that. Barros, you can tell me I'm wrong. You going to knock me there?
The aggregator is going to have a headline. Kawakami, D. Winters is a failed draft pick.
I'm okay with that. Yeah, I'm okay with that.
No, no. Nick Martin's got to beat out D. Winters. Not the highest bar in the world, yeah. but you're right. I mean, that this critical spot, weak side linebacker, triple underscored last season, how important it is. Mm-hmm. You've got Nick Martin, a guy that a lot of people think was overdrafted, versus D. Winters, who couldn't seize that role at all when he had a great chance last year. So it just proves your point, or speaks to your point, that we don't know, that there still are holes, and this is all just one giant crapshoot.
One big crapshoot, everybody. Barros, you got anything else? What's coming up? What's on the schedule coming up? We got any OTAs coming up pretty soon?
No, not OTAs. We got rookie minicamp coming up, not this coming week, but okay. The week after that. So all these guys will come in. I'm sure writers like me and David will start having profiles on each of these guys. I thought it was really interesting that I read in the Dane Brugler, you know, he does such a nice job with the bios, that Mykel Williams wrestled at 280 pounds in high school. And I was thinking, wow, he got up to 280. And right now he's like 265. So he was actually heavier in high school than he was right now. But he actually wrestled in the 280 class at 250 pounds.
I was going to wonder. Okay.
So he's wrestling guys in high school that are 30 pounds heavier than him. And he's beating them because he went to states that year. So I don't know. I just found that interesting. Taking on guys bigger than you and beating their asses. I do it all the time.
You were wrestled at 250, didn't you?
I wrestled at 250. I wrestled at 97. That's what I wrestled at.
That Matt Barros, he's wrestling up at 97. He's a spry 77 pounds.
Yeah, the 97 ones, that's when you have to wrestle the girls in your division. And then, like, the girls are good at 97 pounds.
They knock you around.
They kick your ass.
They knock you around. They got the wingspan. They got the long arms.
Yeah, right.
Okay, enough of that. Barros, all good. We went through it. And I think it was a very interesting moment for the 49ers, very important moment for the 49ers. We shall see how it goes. But I got down there for one day. It was good to see those guys. They have plans to come out to a Warriors playoff game if the Warriors keep playing. They were asking me about the Warriors playoffs. I know Shanahan and the Lynch love going there. Saw Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, and Jed York at the game last night. 49ers Warriors, that is a relationship. They are a little bit of a bros, all those guys. So it's always good to see the crossover.
Maybe a little Mykel Williams, Alfred Collins.
Duo. Yeah.
You might need an extra ticket for Collins. He might need two seats there.
He's a big dude, as John Lee said, a large human being. So
large human being.
Yeah, and that's a kind of a plus thing, I think, in the defensive line. All right, Barros, we did it. Maybe we'll do next week. Maybe we won't. We shall see what's live. But good to knock through that draft. All right, see you, everybody.